Don Kimes is going to join the show in about an hour. Let's take a look around the league, shall we be? ESPN.com put together a story kind of looking at the entire roster for the Commanders and trying to identify what players are worth a first-round pick if you were to trade them, right? Kind of an interesting way of looking at things. So for Washington, I think we can all name at least one player that's worth a first-rounder. Jaden Daniels.
I think at least one.
Right.
More than one.
Unfortunately, because we've kind of heard it discussed, I would think Terry McLaurin's also a guy that would be worth a first-rounder. Don't you?
I agree.
I don't think they're going to end up trading Terry. If they were and you got a first-rounder, that would have made sense before the draft. It doesn't make sense now because you got a season in front of you, and the draft pick next year is not going to do you a heck of a lot of good.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually. But so the way they divided this up, Jaden Daniels would be worth four first-rounders.
I said at least one. I know it would go up.
I'm reading now from this story. Crucially, while Mahomes, Allen, and Jackson are all on significant contracts, Daniels is in the second season of his four-year, $37 million rookie deal. With the Commanders already having paid his signing bonus, they'll pay him $2.5 million this year and $4.3 in 26 before he is even eligible for an extension. He might be one of the league's two or three biggest bargains while playing the most important position in sports. Is that worth five first-round picks? Six? Seven? The answer is too many. Like, I've talked about this, my LeBron theory, that like, or MJ before him, like true, true superstars.
Yeah.
They're worth more than they make.
Way more.
Because they bring up the salary floor for everyone else. Jaden Daniels, there is not, especially right now, on the given the contract situation, there is not a trade package worth Jaden. Just period.
Yeah.
You get 10 first-rounders. It doesn't matter. Because you have no idea that you'll get that talent. They going forward, they also said Samardzija, if you were to trade Samardzija with 3 years left, could be worth a first-rounder.
All right.
Means he's a pretty good second-round pick.
Mike's been balling, bro.
On their missing out portion, ESPN writes, it turns out there are a lot of rentals on the roster. So while there are plenty of other talented players in Washington, they're not in the first-round pick range. Laremy Tunsil was just dealt from Houston without a first-round pick attached, although the Commanders sent second- and third-round selections to Houston. Elsewhere along the line, Sam Cosmi was excellent during the first half of the season, but he just tore his ACL. Commanders fans don't want to find out whether they can land a premium pick for wide receiver Terry McLaurin, whose public battle for a new contract has felt like a relic of the Dan Snyder days. As good as I believe McLaurin is, it would be tough to see a team trading a first-round pick for a wideout who turns 30 in September. The other young player who might be able to get on the first-round track with more playing time, second-year defensive tackle Johnny Newton, who will assume a larger role after the departure of Jonathan Allen. I think that all sounds about right, especially if you're looking at contracts and everything, kind of how it's determined. Just thinking through the NFC East.
Saquon.
Quinyon Mitchell looks to be like one of the best.
Milo's damn offensive linemen.
Yeah, Mailata, Devontae Smith. You wonder what Cooper DeJean's going to be. I mean, just a good reminder of how loaded that Eagles roster is. I may not be a fan of Philadelphia, but that, I mean, that team is loaded. All right, go to the Giants, B. What do you think the package would have to look like to get Malik Nabers?
Oh, he'll be about 3-4 first rounders.
They got him at two first-round picks and more for Malik Nabers. I'm reading now. He still has 3 years and about $10 million in total remaining money on his rookie deal. In other words, he'll make about as much over the next 3 years as Ja'Marr Chase will make every 4.5 games. That's crazy.
You're dealing with some greatness over there, dog. It's a lot of LSU receivers, man.
It's crazy. It is truly crazy. LSU and Ohio State have put out more receivers in the last, I don't know, 10 years. Maybe you go back to Odell Beckham and who was the Terry Glenn. I mean, there's, I don't know.
Still got the dude down there in Jacksonville, I think it is.
Yeah. Thomas, right? Brian Thomas?
Yeah.
I had him in fantasy. Won a title. No big deal. Reading again, Chase is more of a sure thing than Neighbors, but there's a staggering sum of money being saved that can go to other parts of New York's roster. There's not a ton of talent on that Giants roster. Neighbors, Abdul Carter they just drafted, who's had, by all accounts, a great camp. Dexter Lawrence is obviously a player. Andrew Thomas is good, but seems to always get hurt. Thibodeau, you're not getting a first-rounder for. I mean, it almost seemed like they were getting rid of him. Mm-hmm. Who gets you a first-rounder in Dallas? Micah.
Micah, definitely. Micah going to get you more than one.
You think Micah resets the market even knowing what Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt just got?
I think it's very possible. He's younger than those guys.
If you remember when Khalil Mack got traded, that ended up being two first-rounders, I believe. And Parsons is a year younger than him. I'm curious how they, what they do.
And let's say he get
seven.
Seven.
Seven first rounders to trade for Mahomes.
Listen, man, Pat's still doing his thing. And I know a lot of people knocked him last year because they lost. But hey, dude's special.
What about, they don't have Chris Jones worth a first rounder? I mean, I understand he's older.
They out of their damn mind.
All right.
What do you not watch him play?
What do you think Lamar's worth? Here, hold on. I'll read you what they said about Chris Jones. I went back and forth on defensive tackle Chris Jones, who managed only 5 sacks and 20 knockdowns last season, although a closer look made it clear he was still unblockable on plenty of key snaps. He is still a great player, but he's now 32 and on a deal worth nearly $32 million per season, which is a major outlier for the defensive tackle market. The Chiefs are paying for a certain level of playoff excellence, and I'd suggest he is worth more to them than he would be to another team. I don't know. If something happened to the Chiefs, Mahomes goes down, they're having a down year, and they put Jones on the block.
I was giving this thing a lot of credence that he went there.
What do you think Lamar's worth?
If Pat got 7, Lamar going to get right at that, 6 or 7.
Huh.
5? 4.
4?
I think more, man.
I'm reading now. It was only 2 years ago that teams with such entrenched starters as Desmond Ridder seemed loath to even consider the idea of sacrificing 2 first-round picks as part of a deal to acquire Jackson on the franchise tag. From that point forward, all he has done is win an MVP award and come within 26 ballot points of winning a second. And yet, having seen just how limited the market was when Jackson was at least plausibly available in March of 23, I can only now be realistic and suggest he would land less in the way of draft compensation than Josh Allen and Joe Burrow. Jackson is a future Hall of Famer and has a strong case as the best football player on the planet, but there are too many franchises that weren't willing to mold their identities around his skill set. I suspect some of those organizations would come up with excuses again this time around. Going back to that, like the era of Lamar holding out and asking for a trade, in hindsight, do you think after PA and Howell and everything, do you think, like, with Lamar, there was, like, legitimate, maybe some collusion?
Hell yeah. Bro, it was going, we all know it was collusion with Lamar. That hadn't changed, bro. And then, let's say, Howell came after that. So, imagine what they were doing before.
It is just bizarre to think back to that time. Maybe some teams didn't really feel like talking trade because they knew Baltimore wasn't going to trade them. And they're just like, dude, we're not going to negotiate this deal for you. You can deal with it yourself. This same list has Josh Allen at 5 first.
I wouldn't give a first rounder up for him.
Would you for Brian Thomas, the receiver?
Receiver, hell yeah.
What do you think of Travis Hunter, by the way?
Travis Hunter, yes, he get. I give up a couple of them, two or three for him.
Have you seen he's gotten more work as a receiver than a DB so far in camp?
Hey, man. We're going to see when those NFL DBs start coming in, and we're going to find out.
What do you think Herbert would be worth?
Justin Herbert?
Yeah.
Two, maybe three.
They said three. It's kind of interesting to think about things this way. What, Dak Prescott, one first-round pick. Prescott would be a fascinating trade candidate if his contract made it financially feasible, which it would theoretically become in 2026 if he was willing to waive his no-trade clause. You don't need me to fill you in on both the good and bad of Prescott as a player, but no other team has been willing to pay to top the $60 million average salary the Cowboys gave him last September, even with Brock Purdy and Josh Allen signing new deals this offseason.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to happen, though.
You think Dak finishes his career in Dallas?
No.
I don't either.
No.
How long do you think Brian Schottenheimer is the coach of the Cowboys?
I hope him and Jerry stay together for a long time.
And why? Why is that, Brian? Mm-hmm.
I don't see them doing very well together.
I don't get. What do you think of Caleb Williams? Have you the reports? We should see if we can get Brad Biggs on this week, because apparently everything is a zoo in Chicago. Ben Johnson's just flipping out and yelling at people.
Well, I mean, everybody here, this whole damn town, everybody lost their mind over Ben Johnson. Remember that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lanfield put it in the thread.
I know I didn't.
Lanfield put it in the thread yesterday. Ben Johnson screams at Luther Burden and kicks him out of team drills. And Lanville said, dodge the bullet on this one. The reports out of the Bears camp are just all over the place. And
but trying to build a culture is hard. And doing that with grown men ain't going to happen, dog.
Well, you wonder if he's trying to like establish some level of dominance or something.
The last thing you want to do is start trying to establish a level of dominance with NFL football players. Because what they'll do, they'll show you in a different way that, dude, you can work with us or you work against us. One of the two.
Reading now, in a scripted low red zone period at end practice, Caleb Williams was 0 for 2 passing, took a sack, but had a short TD scamper on a read option keeper. I didn't realize Case Keenum's the backup out there.
Yeah.
Case Keenum with the twos threw touchdowns to Steven Carlson and Durham Smythe. Yo. Caleb Williams was 4 of 10 during 11-on-11 work.
Well, you know, we just said you can't worry about stats.
I agree.
In training camp. But when they're that bad, yes, you can.
Man, it's going to be very interesting to watch that Bears season. And we get to see him here, another Monday nighter. This says you would trade two first-rounders for Caleb Williams. Lanfield, are you trading? Lanfield, I have an update for you. I had a new salad in the refrigerator that I just ate in the last commercial break, and I had an old salad from last week that I forgot to take home when Ahmet brought in subs. The old salad has now been consumed. There was a taker for it. You got a guess who wanted it? Jeff, you got a guess?
I'm going to go with anybody.
You were mistaken for him.
No way.
Somebody said you. They called you that name.
Yes, they did. I'm walking on the sideline. They're like, Linnell. I turn around and I look and I laugh. I said, you really think Linnell and I look alike? I said, we are on two different sides of the skin spectrum. He's dark skinned. I'm golden. He has hair. I don't have hair. Like, how do we look alike? And we sound nothing alike.
Big Nell needed a salad. He was about to order like a Big Mac. He said, hell yeah, I'll eat that salad. So shout out to him. Hope he enjoys it. Trey Amos, I think, Brian, has been really
special, performing
well. It's early. You don't want to make too big of a leap. But They sure hit on a second round corner last week. Huh. And at least early in camp, it sure seems like they might hit on a second round corner. I believe this is Brian Baldinger, NFL Network, talking about the second rounder out of Ole Miss, Trey Amos.
So we always talk about the coverage and the pressure go hand in hand.
No doubt.
Rookie Trey Amos at corner has been the talk of training camp, the long corner out of Mississippi.
Yep.
To some of the stuff you heard about him today.
Well, I mean, just watching him play the ball, but whether you want to, press and get his hands on guys, he is so confident without being a talker.
Right.
Fred Smoot told us he's not a talker, but he's confident.
Fred Smoot's a talker.
Smoot's a talker. But Fred said he reminds him of him. Big, long, aggressive, can get his hands on guys, can run with anybody, and he's getting that opportunity against the receivers out there. I want to see him, if McLaurin can get in here at any time soon, I want to see him run with a guy that could run like Terry.
That's the one thing for a guy like Amos is you'd love to see Terry out there to test him.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you've got Debo. Obviously, Debo's a special player who has looked great. Noah Brown is a real NFL wide receiver. After that, the talent drop off for Washington right now, it's noticeable. And that's not to say Ja'Cory Brooks might not be great, or Jalen Lane,
like,
or
Brooks.
Luke McCaffrey breaks
but
out.
They don't have the experience.
They haven't proven
guys
it.
Have.
Right.
And I think that's the thing about it. You would want to see him go against the experienced guys that have the tricks of the trade. And right now he's missing that.
But what have you thought of Amos so far?
I like him. He's like I said yesterday, he doesn't seem like he's worried about the situation. He seems like it's not too much for him. He's smooth out there. He's right there with guys. It's like, he knows what they're trying to do. He seems to be already, like I saw Mikey do last year, he's already setting guys up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Understands what they're doing. Just like Tanner would talk about stuff about how DBs would tell them based off of how he would line up, so he had to start adjusting those things. I think Trey is already catching on.
For sure. If you're able to put together Amos, Quan, Will Harris, Lattimore, Samardzija, I mean, that should
special.
You hope, right? I mean,
yeah.
I think you've got five guys that are on the
Ibn
plus.
Agni can that gives you depth.
No, I made a hell of a play
yesterday,
I guess, on the ball. If you're looking at that defensive back room, last year, week one, it was BSJ, Mike Davis, and Emmanuel Forbes. As your
think back to that Mike Davis dude, bro, Lord have mercy.
That was a miss.
Whew, complete.
That was a miss. Nice guy, but that was a miss.
A little different.
Definitely.
A little different.
Definitely. Speaking of different and defensive backs, Alvin Walton, you always said he was a little different. What was he like?
Alvin was the type of guy where he just had that little look, man. Alvin was dude that he was different in the sense that you didn't know, if I mess with, I know when I first came in, I stiff armed him. And he's like, "Oh, you want stiff arm?" I'm like, "It's a football play, isn't it?" He said, "Oh, okay, I'm going to show you then." I'm like, "Look, bro, I think like you. If we're on the football field, I stiff arm you. You mad at it. Then if you're going to do something off the field, hell, I got to lock wits with you." And he and I became boys, But Alvin, man. People just, the way Alvin looked was like, I don't want to get hit by that guy. Can you imagine? Imagine if Sean Taylor wore the neck roll and all that stuff.
Right.
On top of already looking menacing. It would have scared the hell out of people, and that's how Alvin was, man.
Why do you think, really as a league, people is anybody wearing neck roll?
Some of these shoulder pads come with it on it, built into it.
Yeah.
But, he used to wear that neck roll, though.
I remember.
I used to like the look of it when in high school.
I wore one in high school.
I didn't wear it.
But that was,
I was too cool for that, Jay.
The real, roll, too.
Yeah,
then
I was
the
too,
cowboy
I was too
collar
cool
became
that,
the cooler thing, like the higher up thing.
Yeah.
I mean, Al Walton had a mohawk at one point.
Mm-hmm.
How big was the mohawk for you, like, in the 80s? Like, how many teammates? Like, did Maniac have a mohawk?
Maniac had a mohawk in college, yeah.
That does not surprise me.
Yeah, because he's a maniac. What the hell
right.
you expect?
Right.
But, like, not many guys had. All the guys that had mohawks, something was a little different about them. You knew they were a little touched.
Right. Like, I just think of Bosworth.
Yeah, Bos. If you think of somebody with a mohawk, you always say, I can see that dude wearing that. Because the dudes were a little weird, a little different.
Jeff, are people in the club these days with mohawks? Nobody's got a mohawk anymore, right?
They wear them a little. It's a little funnier looking now where they try to make it a little wider and bring the hair into it.
I feel like soccer players.
It still looks like a mohawk.
Yeah, in the clubs I'm DJing, nobody's coming in with a mohawk.
Mohawk, I remember.
Well, I'm saying I'm talking about the brothers that I saw with the hair. A lot of.
Yeah, nah.
White dudes are going mullet again, which is something.
Yeah, that look, every time I see somebody like that, I'm just like it's back in the 60s, 70s. That's how it looks.
They say fashion repeats itself.
Yeah, but a lot of people dressing like Happy Days right now again.
Fashion does repeat itself. The fact that kids are now wearing
fashion
like
repeats itself,
baggy
but
ass jeans.
They wear baggy jeans, man.
And
too many people,
pants.
A lot of dudes ain't wearing them bell bottoms no more, dog. Women
but
wear it.
What I can't, they're called
women,
flared
women
pants
wear more.
Now. Yeah. The bell bottoms.
Yeah, I have noticed dudes wearing bell bottoms.
What I can
what is
say,
that about?
What I can say though, we still not worse than back in the day because Cameo was wild. How they dressed with the little, you know, the little boxing thing.
Yeah, but you can't wear that. That's just like being a, like yeah, look at models. Like the stuff most models wear on runway, ain't nobody wearing that stuff every day. There wasn't nobody wearing with Cameo. Away. Only
who's
person,
Cameo?
You never seen?
Word up.
Candy.
Oh, the only yeah. person I know that has worn Cameo stuff in the public was Leon Duncan. Okay? And I don't know if you're listening right now, but Duncan tell me the story about his 30th or his 40th birthday, one of the two, he came out on stage dressed like Cameo, like my man, and perform a song. He had the jock on the outside of the pants,
yeah.
the little cup. Yeah, yeah.
Wait
that's
till
the only
I see
dude
Leon
I know
again.
That has done that in the public other than Cameo.
Jeff, you cannot try to equate previous styles based on a singer's wacky-ass clothes.
JP.
Like, you think people were
JP.
Dressing like Elton
people ain't
John?
Dressed like that every day. Ain't nobody JP. Dressed like that out in the public.
Right.
Have you ever seen movies? They had people walking with platform shoes.
Dude,
with
it's
fish
a movie.
In them. They had to get the inspiration from somewhere.
But
the Isley Brothers were walking around like that.
You still can't show me in a
I'm
movie
you
saw
sucker.
A guy dressing like Cameo. Hey, like the dude, the lead
hey,
singer.
Hey, B. It's this guy who go on U Street. I forgot his name. I can't think of his name right now. But he dressed like he's about to be in a Cameo video or
yeah, but
background
Jeff,
dance with
one
Prince.
Guy it's, who probably owns something.
I seen a lot of old pictures. Y'all used to wear flared jeans with no shirt on, with the vest, with the Jerry curl.
I ain't ever dressed like that.
You didn't.
I had
people
a Jerry
did.
Curl.
But yeah, some of the people that dress today look like some damn, they just came off a corner. From being a bum.
With the,
and that's their regular clothes.
True.
So
yeah, I don't know why that, but still.
And most people act like they going to damn sleep. I see people on an airplane walking through airports with a damn bonnet on and looking like they just got out the damn bed. Come on, dog.
But you're not seeing them. You're not going to see no S curl or Jerry curl in 2025.
Can I ask you a specific question about the Jerry curl? Because I'm not, I don't know how this works. Did you have to like you know in Coming to America, Soul Glow?
Very
like,
much like that.
The spray? Did you walk around with the spray to, like, keep it juicy?
No, man.
What would you do?
If your stuff was good, it was good.
So you would just, it'd be like gelling your hair before you go out
just
for the
like
night.
You do before you leave your house, when you put all your mousse in your head. That's all it was.
You know, I don't go with mousse. I'm a powder man.
You use something that keep your hair where it's going. The same thing with people with Jerry curls.
Was it like an oil-based product?
Yeah, it was Paul Mitchell.
Did
my cousin.
Were you ever... Like the scene in Coming to America where they sit down on the couch and then they
no,
get up and leave.
No, I ain't ever do
just
like that. Hell no. And then back in the day, though, everybody had plastic on their couch.
Nah,
and with the bottom.
We need.
Everybody had plastic on their couch back then, so they were protected.
We need a B. Mitch Jerry Curl photo. I know you have one.
Nah. That won't be happening for
I
me,
would
bro.
Love. I would love if that could be produced.
They already found one in previous years in another TV radio studio, and they put it out there.
Landfill, we got a job to do.
You got to text Scott Jackson.
Jeff, give us a studio. Give us a picture when you had hair.
Oh, that's easy.
I want to see, because I know that thing was back in the backyard.
I got rid of my hairline before it could get
what's
bad.
The stadium? Is it Ohio State?
The horseshoe?
That's the type of hair Jeff
looking like Uncle Phil.
No. Jeff's not even 35, and he already got a receiver.
That's fine.
John Keim is going to join us at 1 o'clock. I'm going to take us to commercial via musical interlude. Just let your soul glow. Mohawk update. Dexter Manley previously had a Mohawk. One other Redskins legend went with the Mohawk for a stretch. You think who it is?
Mohawk? Legend?
Reggie, not your era.
Reggie Branch had a Mohawk.
Okay, I'm saying legend. I give you one more hint, but you'll know it then.
You said Dexter Manley, right?
Yes.
White dude? Mohawk? I don't know.
Riggo?
Wow.
I never
seen a picture with it, though.
I think that was his Jets days. I don't think he did it here. But Riggo, definitely.
Well, like I said, people that wore Mohawk are a little different. We just named Dexter Manley, Riggo, and Reggie Branch.
Right.
All three guys, a little different.
Hey, man. Different strokes for different folks. Also, based on the chat in the YouTube stream, if you want to watch the YouTube stream, get on there. 106.7 The Fan, YouTube. Overwhelmingly really supportive of my singing the Soul Glow song from Coming to America. People seem to really enjoy that. If you missed me singing the Soul Glow song from Coming to America,
please, don't try to find
wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you know, whatever bootleg, weird site White Brian uses, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find B. Mitchell Finley. In addition to the Odyssey app, as always, iHeartRadio, TuneIn. We're there. Wherever you are, we're there. Just call my name, and I'll be there. Oh, Locked On Law with a nice comment. JP makes Biz Markie sound like Marvin Gaye.
That's not a nice comment.
I took it as a compliment. It's always good to be in the same sentences. No.
If you make Biz Markie sound like Marvin Gaye, I mean, you're horrible. That's what he tried to tell you.
Did I ever tell you about the flight I took with Biz Markie down to Charlotte? That is an off-air story, but it was interesting. NFL news. I just saw, I think Jay Glazer reported this. The Seahawks have agreed to a 4-year contract extension with John Schneider, their GM. That keeps him as president of football ops GM through at least the 2030 draft. That will be 20 drafts with Seattle. Seattle was really good for a while. Then they kind of were up and down. They have always drafted really well. Mm-hmm. Did you know, John? He was in D.C.
Schneider,
yeah.
Mm-mm.
He was here. I think he was here under Dan. I don't know him. I've met him, but definitely don't know him. He was vice president of player personnel. You went to Philly in 2000,
mm-hmm.
So they hired him in 2001,
mm-hmm.
And then he went to Green Bay a couple years later. Actually, he was only here for 1 year. If your star is if your star is rising and you're working for Vinny Serrato, and the Packers call.
You go.
Also, Xavier Worthy, the young receiver for the Chiefs,
Spista,
placed in concussion protocol.
Mm. It did say he hit his head the other day.
Right. There's never a good time for concussion protocol, and certainly you hope everybody's safe. These head injury stuff, that's a different ballgame, man. You want everybody to be safe. But if you are going to have a concussion, July's you know, yeah. Ideally you're okay within a couple weeks. There's no real hurry on it.
Yeah.
Here's some news that will make Commanders fans smile, I would guess. Adam Schefter talking about Micah Parsons and the Dallas Cowboys.
What about them? Far away?
The two sides have gone backwards, not forwards. I don't think they're speaking very much these days, if at all. This negotiation, when it was a negotiation, has gone sideways. Mm. It's not a negotiation right now. There's really no conversation about getting a deal done. That could change next week. It could change shortly before the season. We've seen how long Dallas sometimes waits on some of these deals. What is Jerry doing with Micah?
Jerry is doing what he always does, man. He's going to negotiate, and then he's going to come out on the other side, and he's going to be right there with his dude, with his arm around his shoulder, like he always was together with it. So it is.
More from Schefter. I believe this was via McAfee. I don't think Micah's real happy with them. I don't think they're real happy with him. I don't think anybody's real happy with anybody. So I don't think there's a deal that's being discussed right now, not to mention being close.
Okay.